You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build a social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today we're going to dive in to the top 9 tips I wish I knew when I was first getting started. So for those of you that don't know much about my story, I've been a serial entrepreneur for the past 15 years. And when I first got started in the entrepreneurial world, my journey actually began much earlier when I was about 7 years old and selling Hello Kitty stationery out of my parents' home decor store. But the last 15 years has really been more in the online space. And actually, when I first met my husband, we jumped right in to becoming entrepreneurs. And this is a summary of the 9 things that absolutely revolutionized our business and really allowed us to build the business of our dreams. Now, if you look at the last, I would say, 12 years of building entrepreneurial pursuits, there were a lot of things that I didn't learn until later in my journey that really made the last 2 years as impactful as they have been. And that was going from having an expensive hobby, trying many, many different things, everything under the sun, from selling backpacks to selling scarf rings and all these different physical products, to what I do now, which is creating done-for-you marketing solutions and really leaning into the copywriting and creation of marketing tools that help you scale and automate your business. So let's jump in with tip number 1. Not everyone you surround yourself with knows what's best for you. So this lesson came to me quite early in my career. I was deciding which direction I was going to go. I was newly out of university. I had just finished an English literature degree and women's studies degree, and I had decided that I was going to continue to pursue my love for the fitness industry. And funny enough, my parents had owned a Gold's Gym in the 80s. So although I had had this dream of becoming a writer and doing more of the copywriting sort of, you know, style of career, it was really the only job that I could see myself doing, especially in the rural area that I lived. It was working for a gym and starting off as a personal trainer. Now, in university, I had done some part-time work at a gym, and I had always just really been attracted to the health and fitness industry. And I'll never forget that phone call I made to my mom to tell her that I was wanting to dive into the fitness industry. And at that point in time, you know, she's an entrepreneur herself. And I think she sort of knew some of the trials and tribulations they had had being in the fitness industry and what that would look like. And I think, you know, after you spend that money going to university, you sort of look at it like, well, I should probably do something in my field. And I know that that is where she was coming from, you know, a place of, we just spent this money, this is what you've always wanted to do, what are you doing? But I persisted through it. I knew that maybe it wasn't the decision that she wanted to see at that time, but I also knew that deep down, I am a very, I would say, like, I feel, someone told me once that I live hard. And what I mean by that is that I can be very emotional in my decision making when something feels right or it doesn't. I'm very intuitive with that. And this just really felt like the right decision for me. And although I knew that eventually I would look back and my mom would, you know, eventually see that this is what I really wanted to do, everything would be okay. I'm really glad that I decided to take that leap, because that first job working as a personal trainer led me to a career in which now I've been in the fitness industry for the last 16 years and doing every position from starting as a part-timer to becoming the president of a fitness company where I was managing 8 different clubs. So the people that we love absolutely want what's best for us. There is no doubt about that, but not everyone knows what's actually best for us. We are the only ones that can really tell that. And I think that's why lesson one is so important. You are the one that ultimately needs to make the decisions of where your life goes. And the people that love us will understand if we make a decision that doesn't align with what they may think at the time. But it's so important to go with what your gut is saying. Tip number two. Your number one job is to find out who you are. This lesson came to me from trying everything as an entrepreneur. There's tons of ideas out there, tons of shiny objects. You can go really in any direction you choose. And I think sometimes this overwhelm is really what gets people caught up. And the real purpose of life is to find out who you truly are. Before anyone told you no as a child, before you thought you couldn't do this, you couldn't wear that, you couldn't think like that, our job as entrepreneurs is to uncover the layers and all the doubts that we tend to build up before we become adults. It's like this childhood innocence that we have that is really the true key to who we need to become as entrepreneurs, or who we get to become. It really wasn't until I hired a business coach. He was a business and life coach, and he helped me get really clear on my life's purpose. I remember being in many different corporate jobs, and there were pieces of it that I just felt so full. I was teaching other people in the fitness industry. I loved onboarding people, teaching sales and marketing. I was just in my element. But there were pieces of it that I felt were limiting me. I was being held back from making decisions and really going 100% in. I'm very much a person that believes in people over profit. Now, I'm not saying, I know every business obviously needs to pull a profit, but not over people is what I mean by that. And I think that that's something that I stubbed my toe with quite a few times working in the corporate world. So there was part of it that was fulfilling a need for me, but a part of it that I kept feeling I can't truly bring this department to what I think it can be because of this consistent pushback in values. So once I hired this life coach, I was able to really get clear on what my values were as a person and what I really wanted to bring to the table for anyone that I worked with. And I'm not going to lie, at first I really felt like some of these exercises were a bit futile. Like, why do I need to know my values? I know when something feels right and something doesn't. Or I know what I want to do. I want to help women just feel better and reduce that overwhelm that comes with learning something new. But once I had clarity around my values and I knew, okay, these are the things I need in any company I work for from here. These are the things that I also need if I go to make a move somewhere, if I'm looking at, you know, moving to this place or this place. What was beautiful about that is that when you look at your values and you're evaluating a change in your life, you can say, okay, if I go over to this company, my family life is going to be a, let's say, an 8 out of 10. But if I go to work for this company, I know they're a lot more demanding. It's going to be a 6 out of 10. And you go through all of your values and then you add that number up at the end of the day. It makes decision making so easy. And I think that when you're trying to decide what industry to go into or which business to start next, this is a really, really important piece of the puzzle. You need to have your values and what your life purpose is really summarized, so you're not stuck in the limbo of, oh, I'm just going to wait it out and see what feels best. It gives you a measurable tool to get right to it and make that decision. Tip number three, when it stings, there's a lesson. So I don't know about you guys, but I've had many bosses in my career that I loved and many bosses that it felt like I just started to resent them, or I knew that there was some dissonance there and I couldn't put my finger on it. And I think that after I started doing the life coaching, I started to realize that my values were what was really driving those feelings, because, you know, one for me was definitely work-life balance. I started to really feel out of alignment when the expectations of me were to work from 9 to 7 a day and work every Saturday. It made me feel sick to my stomach. I was fine with doing that when my husband wasn't coming to visit me. For those of you guys that don't know, he was living in Ontario. I was in British Columbia it was about 2.5 years that we lived long distance while I was really working on my career and fulfilling some higher up positions that I had always dreamed of. But it really tore me down when I felt that there was this sting there of, you know, he's coming to see me and I'm working on Saturdays and working till 7 at night and all of these things. So what that really taught me is that was a breaking point for me, where I knew that at that moment of understanding that expectation, that was not going to be something I was going to be able to uphold. I'm very much about freedom and flexibility. And if I perform, I expect my schedule to reflect that, which maybe is a millennial thing, but I also just, it's one of my values that I will work really hard when times are tough and when I need to. But if I need some breathing room, I also want that on the other side of putting all that hard work in. But as I said, there was a sting there. And what it taught me was that this was something I really valued. And for me to be really happy, I would need to find somewhere or create something where time flexibility was something that I had control over. And there's other things we all experience too. Maybe it's that, you know, you work for it could be a sales aggressive company, or even just aggressive in the way that the leadership team is. Those are both things I experienced in my career. And again, there was this sting there. But what it taught me is that I wanted to have my own company, that yes, sales were really important, but it wasn't the way in which we got everything done. We serve people first, and because of that, our sales numbers grow. And the same with this sort of aggressive behavior, that was definitely something that I would never want to be treated that way, that someone needs to raise their voice to me to make me want to do something. So I knew in bringing that to my own company, that was not the way that I wanted the culture to be, because it's high stress for me personally. It actually just rubs off on you and you start emulating the people that you're around in 30 days. So those were some things that, although there was a sting there, it taught me what I truly value deep down. And it's something that I will never work for another company, nor would I create that company culture of those things that I so wholeheartedly resented when I work there. So just know that if you're feeling some dissonance where you're at right now in your own business, there's a lesson there. We just need to pay attention to it. Tip number four, interview 10 people who do what you want to do. This was something that at first I definitely wondered about the time investment of getting on the phone or getting on a call with 10 people and reaching out, putting myself out there, and then asking them some tough questions. But I can't tell you how important this was in my journey. So I picked people that had speaking businesses, consulting businesses, anything that really resonated with me that I thought, oh yeah, I could picture myself doing that in my career. And there were lessons there that these people really saved me, you know, many trials and tribulations of trying to figure it out on my own. And everything I learned from those 10 interviews snowballed into what I did to get my business going. So that is something I would absolutely recommend that you do, no matter where you are in your business. Like having access to 10 people who have gotten to a level in their career that you want to get to, you're going to learn so much about the mistakes that they made and how to avoid them for yourself. And it really feels good to go into whatever you're doing in your business with a plan, because it'll save you time and you'll get to your destination so much faster. Tip number 5, know your ideal customer. The product will come. When I first got started in my business, I was really obsessed with finding a product right away. That's what I think as entrepreneurs, we think we have to do. We think we have to have all these products out there. And that's what really creates that revenue and income. But the more that you get to know your ideal customers, the more that you're hanging out with them in their community and their spaces and asking them questions, what they really need will become super obvious. And if you're in social selling, you know, the product that you're selling, you don't get to pick, right? It's already provided for you. But the lesson that comes out of that is that your ideal customers are telling you what they need, and you're able to use what they're telling you to work it around the solution that you're offering. So for somebody, let's say if you're in the health and fitness space, your ideal customer keeps telling you they don't have time. Well, if you're going to be selling them a product that is part of a health and fitness package, you're going to continue to reference time. Or let's say you're in the beauty industry and you know your ideal customer doesn't spend a lot of time doing their makeup. That is going to be a really organic solution for them to have maybe a skincare product that takes down the time of needing to put on makeup. Because if you have great skin, you really don't need makeup. So it's thinking about it like that. The more that you get to know your ideal customer, their language, their thoughts, the words they use, the easier it will be for your product to come up naturally and to be able to utilize that language to really get them to pay attention and want what you have. Tip number 6, mindset is everything. Now, I didn't focus a lot on mindset early in my career. I've always read books and it's always been a part of my personal development. But I think the missing link for me was that it wasn't the thoughts I was having most of the time that were the problem. It was the fleeting thoughts that came up, you know, in the middle of a run or when I was out walking my dog, the thoughts like, oh, it's already taking you 10 years. You're just never going to get there with this business thing. Maybe it's just not your thing. Or it would be these little thoughts that came up that, or it would be little things like past bosses' comments or words or things that they had said to me. They would sort of pop up again and, you know, things like, oh, I wouldn't have put you on this team or I wouldn't have hired you. Those sort of things would just pop up. And instead of dealing with them, I think sometimes our first inclination is to just try to push them down. Like, nope, get out of my head. I don't want to think about it. Go away. And that is really not how we improve our mindset, because when everyone has those thoughts, first of all, it's not a matter of if you start making 6 figures or 7 figures or wherever you are in your business. It's not that those thoughts don't come up. It's just that we learn to deal with them differently. The purpose of focusing on your mindset is to actually record those thoughts when you have them, because the sooner that you can figure out what those things are that you're telling yourself, the sooner that you can decide whether you're going to believe them or not. And I have a really quick activity that involves brain priming that is really going to help with this. And what that is whenever you get that resistance, you want to write it down. So the wording is really important. Maybe you have a feeling of, oh, I'm just never going to be good enough. So you write that down. And then what you do is you write out, you know, all the things that you're telling yourself about that. I'm never going to be good enough because I'll never have anything to offer the world. My ideas aren't really that great. All those thoughts that you're thinking. And then what you're going to do is you're going to think of someone really important to you in your life. Maybe it's your best friend, your sister, a child that you have, whatever it may be. And you're going to pretend to say all of those things to that person you love. And you're going to change the pronoun to whatever it is, she, he, you, however you want to say that to that person. So for me, maybe I'll give you an example. I'll think of my niece. Her name is Amelia. So that would be me saying, Amelia, you're never going to amount to anything. You just don't have enough to offer the world and you're just never going to be good enough. So I'm going to pause right there because immediately that feels so wrong, right? And so after you've gone through the process of writing that out, you're going to change it and to be about you. But you're going to change it and make it positive. So that will start with, you know, you've got your piece of paper and you're going to change it to Amelia. You have everything you need to be successful. You have all the knowledge you would ever need to be anything you want to in this world. So you're just going to flip it around to the positive. And then the last two steps are you're going to change it to yourself in the present tense. So you have everything you need to be successful in this world. Everything you've ever dreamed of is coming true right now. And what you're going to do is once you have the verbiage changed, obviously going from the negative and speaking to someone you love, and then you're going to change it to the positive and then speak to yourself, then you're going to record yourself saying it. And then you're going to listen to it for 67 days because that's how many days it takes to take something negative and change it into the positive. So that is how I would target and focus on changing my mindset. Tip number 7, find a community of people that are doing big things. This was a lesson that came later for me. I tended to always surround myself with people that were not really in the online space. And it wasn't until I found somebody that we became really connected on building our online businesses that I realized how important it was to have somebody else in the same space. It's just different when you can talk to somebody about some of the challenges that you're facing and to hear that you're not the only one, that they face them too. And one of the best things I ever did was actually join a mastermind. And it was because all of a sudden I was in a room with people that were, you know, making more per month. There were people making less per month. And everyone just was valued for their opinion and what they had to offer. Now, in this group, we could bring questions and problems and different things we were trying to solve. And you have all these people around you to be able to get the next steps from, which really takes down the overwhelm. Now, this could always start too as something free or a free community that you build. But eventually, you'll get to a certain point in your business that a mastermind will just absolutely be life-changing for you, and you'll have all the answers and all the people that you ever really need in the same room or on the same call. And you will just start nailing stuff in your business so much quicker than if you were going at it alone. Tip number 8, hire a coach ASAP. So this is something that anytime I wanted to have massive momentum in my career, whether that was in corporate, working in health and fitness, or that was after when I decided I really needed a coach, this was something that immediately I would bet on this every single time. Every time I hired a coach, I was able to at least double my income. And I'm talking when I hired a business coach, I was working for a health and fitness company, and by the time I had worked through the interview process and worked through some new positions I was going to be applying for, through his coaching, I was definitely able to double my income, including the salary and bonuses and all those things tied together, and then do it again twice. So coaches just absolutely pay off when you find the right one. And the thing is, like, you can keep going on your own, but wouldn't you rather pay for a shortcut? Because if you can get to the shortcuts and have someone else save you the time, the money comes, and it comes really easily if you're just willing to lean in and pay someone to show you where they are. So don't hesitate. Find a coach and hire them. Definitely go through the background checks and what they offer. Get on a discovery call. Do your due diligence. But if you really want to grow your business, hire a coach. I promise it's one of the best things I've done for my business. Tip number 9, entrepreneurship is managing your foot on the gas and not pumping the brakes. So this tip does definitely go a little bit back to mindset, but I want to give you an explanation of why this tip is so important. All of us have one foot on the gas, and this is our zone of genius where we know that if we keep doing these things that we're going to be successful. But then on the other side, we've got one foot, the foot of resistance, that is pumping the brakes and telling us, no, you can't do that. Why would you dream so big? No, you're going to lose money. No, that's not going to be possible for you. Your foot on the other side is just tapping those brakes and causing you to hesitate in certain areas of your business that it isn't serving you in the end. So the entrepreneurial journey is really about learning to manage this relationship of one foot on the gas and not continuously pumping the brakes. And in the beginning, it can be a slower process because you're learning to trust yourself, right? And to trust your gut decisions. And sometimes we tend to look around and decide, oh, like, did that go well? I should do more of that. Or if it didn't, nope, you should never do that again. And that's really not always the best way to decide if we can trust ourselves. We are not our business and we are not our numbers. And sometimes if we're doing well, we tend to really feel good about ourselves and think, oh, it's all because of me. This is going so well. And vice versa happens. Our business numbers may not be where they want to be, and we tend to blame ourselves and get really in our head about it. But instead, I want you to think of, you should celebrate when your foot is on the gas and you're moving forward and you're not getting caught up in the resistance and continuously pumping the brakes. It's all about moving forward in your entrepreneurial journey, learning as a part of that, making mistakes as a part of it, and continuing to push forward is ultimately how you'll definitely build the business of your dreams. Those, my friends, are the top 9 tips I wish I knew when I was getting started. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. I'm so happy to have you join me, and I would love to hear your comments and feedback on what was your biggest takeaway from the show today. What do you think is going to make the biggest impact in your business? Until next time, my friends, thank you so much for listening to Social Selling Simplified. If you're ready to go 100% in building the business of your dreams, I'd love for you to apply at ashleyshaw.ca/mastermind. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I'll see you right back here for the next episode on Social Selling Simplified.